Okay. Well, Marty read my verse this morning, and I hadn't talked to him, but Lord had. Amen. John chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, we'll begin in verse 1. If you're led, will stand with me all over the church for reading his word. Let me drink some water. Lost the lid. Okay. It's one of those, you know, sometimes preachers talk about God changing your message, and he can do that in the morning. I was riding home from Monroe to get a shower and get my Bible, and I said, well, God, I don't think there's time to change the message, but I pray you've changed the messenger this morning. Amen. John 12 and verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, because he was a thief. He had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying have she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on him, or believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the name of the Lord. Dear God, I thank you. I thank you for these that wave the palms. Lord, thank you for Jesus. And Lord, we're celebrating this Sunday, as we do every Sunday, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And next Sunday, Lord, we bring great focus and honor onto that day. This morning, I ask, dear God, that you would move among us and prepare us for the time we have left. Lord, prepare us for the fact that you could return and rapture and catch the church up before Easter. That, Lord, you could take us home in death before Easter comes. Lord, prepare us to meet you every moment of every day, and to worship you. And, Lord, to wave the palms again. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me see it. Question here. If I had to title this message, it'd be, who are the palm wavers? Who are these palm wavers? And where are the palm wavers now? Did anybody bring palms this morning? Anybody got your palms with you? Is anybody wondering what I'm talking about? I'm reading this passage about Jesus entering into the city of Jerusalem, and then they're waving the palms. And this is Palm Sunday. If you've got a good calendar, it says Palm Sunday. You got a worldly calendar, it don't say Palm Sunday. But we call this Palm Sunday in the church. And my question began as I was led to this passage is, well, who are these palm wavers? Who is here by the side of the road? I mean, how do you get that together? They didn't have Facebook, they have Instagram, they didn't have Twitter, they didn't have email, they didn't have news. How do you gather together palm wavers. Who are the palm wavers? And well, more importantly, Scott, if there was palm wavers then when Jesus came along, where are the palm wavers now? Are there palm wavers anymore? Does that happen anymore? Is it important? And some of you looking at me like I'm crazy, and I am kind of crazy, and I've been up since 3 also. But who are these people? Well, as we find here, I'm going to tell you about 3 or 4 groups of people that were here that we find out of the Bible context. We find this passage is telling us that it's Passover time. People have traveled for the annual Passover celebration to celebrate when God had moved so mightily in the children of Israel there in Exodus, when that night when the children were going to be sacrificed, that the would apply the blood on the door, and the death angel would come through, and he would pass over the households who were trusting God and believing in him. So they're celebrating that great protection of God and moving. So a people had come. So first of all, in that group of palm wavers, you have some Passover visitors. You have some visitors to Jerusalem. They've came and they're there, and they have heard about Jesus, seen Jesus, and they are gathered there and they're waving their palms. Well, there's a second group that was standing there, and that was local people. Local people that had been either, they had, many of them knew all about Lazarus. They realized, and they knew for sure, they were neighbors and local folks. They knew that Lazarus was dead. He was dead as he could be. He's putting in the grave. And by the way, as it says in the Bible, that he was at the point he'd be stinking. And Jesus came and raised him from the dead. So I'm telling you, that'll get you palm waving going. Amen. Now the casual Passover visitor, that's maybe more fake. But I tell you what, you realize that Lazarus was dead, and Jesus came along and called him forth out of the grave, and you a neighbor, and you know Lazarus, Jesus. Hey, you waving some palms. Amen. You waving some palms. And I'm going to tell you in a little bit what it means, because the more I studied this, as I was studying, trying to get to the point, I remember one day, I forget what day it was, I'm thinking, God, I've studied so much, I got to go back and figure out what's the palm waving anyway? So 2 groups, visitors are there, and some of those visitors probably kind of just got caught up in it, and involved in the palm waving. Those people knew what happened to Lazarus. They were big palm wavers. You might even learn in a little bit, we talk about where are they, you might begin to understand if you need to be one. Amen. Then there were the religious leaders, and it mentions there, and in this comforting, if you look there with me in the Bible as we're reading there, it's very clear that it talks about the chief priest in verse 10. They were consulting how, and once again, we know Jesus is about to be put to death, but they're consulting they might put Lazarus to death also. That's a wonderful group to hang around with. Who are the high priests? Oh, those are the religious leaders of the day. Amen. They still exist? They exist. They try to rise up in every church and every denomination, everywhere. So this group of people said, I tell you, this palm waving and this Jesus thing and this, I tell you, we got to draw the line. This people getting raised from the dead is going to cause us some serious trouble, because this goes against all our doctrine and all our teaching and all our tradition and all our beliefs. And we're consulting together. Don't you like that? Consulting. Not much good comes out of consulting, amen? They should have been praying, but so they're there. They're looking and thinking, and here's what they really thought, y'all. They thought, and let me give you kind of the general definition of the palm waving comes from the idea of when a conquering general or conquering army was victorious, and as they would enter back into their hometown, the people would gather and they would wave the palm branches, and it would be simply symbols of peace and victory. Now, some of those Passover visitors and some of the local people there at St. Lazarus, they knew, thank goodness, Jesus is going to rise up and be the king of the land. He's going to take control of everything, and he's going to bring peace, and we desperately need peace. He's going to bring victory, because there's a fourth group. There's a fourth group after those high priests that were there watching the palm waving. I don't think they were in the group. I don't think any of them were waving palms, and that was the Roman soldiers. And the Roman soldiers, if you could have talked to one, would have been sitting there and thinking, this is the silliest triumphant parade we've ever seen. Now, what happened with the Romans is there were some specifics to this. You literally had to go out, and if you kill 5,000 people and gathered a certain amount of spoils from war and all these specific things, you met the criteria, Miss Margaret, to get your parade. And I'm talking about it being one of the grandest parades in the world with the best horses and the best military outfits and the most pride and pomp you've ever seen with march in. So the Roman soldiers are looking at the palm wavers and thinking, this is the most pitiful and silly looking parade we've ever seen. This is a joke. He's riding in an old donkey. These people are crazy. So that's the palm wavers. The palm wavers were there, and they were so, what were they doing? They wanted peace and victory now, but they were celebrating the peace and victory that God could bring. They didn't understand fully what was going to happen, but that's what they were there. That's what was going on. And when you think about this peace, and I'll have to say, after the tears and the turmoil and the drama of this morning, as we settled in the living room of my mother-in-law's house, you know what? The first thing I was sensing, a peace. A peace, I believe, that's not available apart from Jesus Christ. A peace that the Bible talks about along these lines. At the birth of Jesus Christ, the angels announced that there was coming this peace on earth. It says, and suddenly there was, in Luke 2:13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Some of the people knew that. Some of the palm wavers knew that. And they're thinking, hey, the peace is going to come. But what the angels are talking about is this peace that the Holy Spirit brings, and this peace that we have in the midst of us, in the midst of death, in the midst of physical trouble, in the midst of cancer, Byron, and all the things that are going on. This peace is coming. In his ministry, though, it's very interesting to note that when Jesus began to talk about peace, you know what he began to talk about? He didn't really talk as much about peace as he even started talking about, if you would, almost like war on the earth. In Luke 12:51, listen to Jesus, what he says. He says, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth? Question mark. That's what the angel said. But the peace they were talking about was a different peace. He says, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? He says, I tell you, nay, but rather division. Rather division. Jesus knew where he was headed. Jesus knew that there was going to be this division between the religious leaders and between what God truly wanted. Jesus Christ knows and even talks about in the Bible how he'll even put you at odd in your, he'll bring division in your family when part of the family is trying to seek Jesus and follow him. And if you would, hang on, be a palm waver for Jesus. I'll go and answer that question. I'm not sure where they all are, but I still believe there are to be palm wavers, and I believe we're to be palm wavers. And by the end of this message, I hope you want to be one with me, amen? But he talks about this division coming, and Jesus says, hey, that's what I've come. We've come, if he would, it's almost like he's saying in our vernacular, I'm coming to draw a line in the sand, and you're either for me or against me. And so this group is for him. This group is excited. This group is praising him. This group is gathered, and they're waving their palms. When they cried Hosanna, it literally meant it was this exclamation of adoration. They were adoring Jesus. That's what. So you're celebrating, and we celebrate the peace he brings. Amen. Can I get an amen to the peace in the midst of, no matter, he's always available for peace inside. In this war, there's division and upheaval and trouble, but he's always got the victory. He's won the victory, amen? I'm so thankful. My mother-in-law was, you know, and if you've been there, worry about so many things, and I'm like, listen. You don't have to worry about any of this stuff. Not worry about any of this stuff, because there's victory in knowing that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that a sinner such as you and I, in accepting Jesus, that when we die, we go to heaven. And what is that? Victory. Victory over ourselves, amen? Victory over sin. Victory over the situations. Victory over everything. So that's what Jesus was talking about. I found it interesting as I studied more, but realize if you look, and I'm going to read the verse to you in Luke 19, the 38, verse 38, the parallel to what I read to you in John, the palm wavers were, we found out in this passage, that they are shouting about peace in heaven. The angel said he's coming to be preached to you in your heart while you're living here if you'll accept him. Jesus said, I'm bringing war and division so we can really have peace one day. And then the palm wavers in Luke 19:38 said, saying, blessed is the king that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. That's what they were saying. Peace and glory in the highest. Because, hey, that's the only place that peace exists outside of eternally through the Holy Spirit is when we get to heaven. Amen? Some of you are longing for peace on earth. It's not happening. Some of you are longing for peace in your home, and that's not happening to everybody gets closer to Jesus, amen. And on any given day, come to my house, and there may not be much peace. There may be some division, y'all all right? But peace one day in heaven. Begin to think about it, and I found a Revelation passage that man just jumped off. Well, in fact, two things. Let me give you one Old Testament passage. Zechariah 9:9. The palm wavers were fulfilling prophecy. It says in Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. It was prophesied that this event was going to happen. And then we find in Revelation, and I didn't get a chance to go back and reorganize a lot of my notes this morning, so bear with me for 1 second. But we find in Revelation there's a picture of what is going on here that's going to happen one day in heaven. And I know I'm going to find it. Scott, I feel like in Sunday school this morning, Scott had lost his place. And I started to tell you in Sunday school, that's the worst feeling. So I know that verse is here. That verse is laying on my desk at home. Amen? Anybody with me? Where is that verse? Revelation 7:9. Turn with me for a moment. Go there right quick. Revelation 7:9. It's coach your verse. This is your opportunity to grab a hold of the palm wavers and be one of them. In Revelation 7:9. I still hear you turning, so I'm awake. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Oh, what a vision from heaven. Could you imagine the opportunity? Could you imagine one day in heaven? So we take these groups we talked about on that road to Jerusalem, victory and peace. They're adoring Jesus Christ. I started thinking about waving that palm. And I'm telling you, there'll be churches and people today that they'll get a palm, and they may even go through a little ceremony of it. But I began to think about that palm waving and those people waving. And you know what they was doing as they was waving those palms? They was pointing at Jesus. Amen. They was pointing at Jesus and saying, he's the one, amen. He's the one that will bring me peace. He's the one that will bring me victory over any problem in my life, any situation I've got going on now, any situation of the phone ringing at any time day or night will bring. He is the one. He is the one that will bring the victory. They were adoring Jesus Christ. That really began to make me think, where are the palm wavers today? Where are those people? And I began to get excited thinking, I want to be one of those people, because what God is saying is, there's coming a day we'll be in heaven, amen? And when I get to heaven and I get to pick up the palm branch and I get to wave it once again at Jesus, oh, I love that. I think about dying. And I've often said this, you know, I don't know what would be greater. To die and be in heaven and come back with Jesus in the air, like he says in the rapture, or be alive here on earth in the rapture. I think both of them be great, amen? But to know, so know that even in death, or people are going forth, they're not going to miss anything when Jesus comes back. For that ultimate next step of victory, for that ultimate next step of peace that we're going to have. I imagine at the time of the rapture, and I pray God, I'm looking forward to Easter, but bless God, it'd be fine with me if Jesus came back for Easter, amen? And to think about, hey, to think about the peace we can feel now, then you're like, it's the peace that passes understanding, the Bible says, you're in a situation and you're in the midst around you, everybody may be going crazy. You may have been that way a few moments before, and God washes you with peace. What's the peace going to be like when he catches us up in the rapture when he comes? Y'all, that's what we're saying. The victory Lazarus got over death, he had to die again. Amen? Think about it. But Lazarus will be there with us in the rapture. We're going to come through a time when the peace we're going to feel when, can you imagine being caught up in the air? You know, peace that passes understanding is going to flood our soul. So where are the palm wavers now? Where are the palm wavers now? Who's some examples of palm wavers? I think that old Noah was a palm waver. He would have been a palm waver if he was standing there in Jesus' day. But I believe even before that time, knowing it was mentioned, him the parade in Zechariah and prophecy, knowing it's going to happen in heaven, that's the thing. I think Noah was a palm waver, because think about what he was doing. God comes to him and says, I got a job for you, Noah. It ain't never rained, never seen no rain, but we're going to have a flood. Once you build a boat, it's going to take 100 years to do it. Everybody going to think you're crazy, but he says, I'll be with you. You know what Noah did? Every nail he drove, every piece of wood he gathered, he was pointing to God, and ultimately pointing to Jesus, saying, peace, victory, I adore you. I began to think about it a little more, and I thought about Isaiah. Isaiah's a palm waver. I believe Isaiah's a palm waver, because it came to the point, and Isaiah's a great prophet, a great man of God, but the greatest part about Isaiah is, comes to the point in the Bible, that Isaiah, and there's such a need that's prevalent, and Isaiah just yells out, and he says, here am I, send me. And Isaiah spends the rest of his life going out for God and pointing to God, saying, God's the way of victory. God's the way of peace. He is the way. And I began to think, is our world ever in any more desperate need for some palm wavers? Amen? For some people that will constantly just be pointing. That's Jesus. I began to think about, the Bible says, when the Holy Spirit, when you accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. Your body becomes his temple. So if you would, Jesus Christ lives in your body through the Holy Spirit. And when we're showing up, hey, we're parading around everywhere, and that's opportunity. Would you give testimony of what God's doing or what's going on in life? That's Jesus. He's the one with victory. He's the one with peace. My grandpa Thomas, my mama's daddy, he was a palm waver. He was a palm waver, and dude, I remember him. He had a Bible that he read, amen? Not a Bible he just carried to church. And he had that Bible, and I can see him now in that little simple white house and reading that Bible. Big old oak tree, the water oak is still out there. And I can remember my grandpa sitting down after lunch before he went back out to work with the cows or in the fields. He's reading his Bible. And what was he doing? For me as a young boy, he was waving the palm saying, here, this is Jesus. This is where the victory is. This is where peace is. This is the way to live life. I asked him one time as a young boy, and all I can remember about is a few verses in Sunday school and how big this was and how ominous it was into our kids. And I said, Grandpa, have you ever read that whole thing? And he said, many times. He was a palm waver in that, how he loved church. He was a palm waver with an unending smile when you always needed that smile. With the humility, he was waving that palm. Adam, my preacher, when I went into ministry, Preacher Don, he was a palm waver in my life. He had a big old Bible. It was a big old Thompson chain reference, Lars print edition. Had that thing. It was limber, and it was worked out, and it was wrote on. When I was younger and going in ministry, I bought one just hoping I couldn't even carry the thing. It was too big for me. But just loving the Word and teaching the Word and being realistic about the Word on a Wednesday night, getting up and teaching about a Scripture and stopping and say, I hope when this happens in my life that I can do what the Scripture says, but I don't know. And sometimes I don't know, amen? He had a big love and a big care. He planted a church called Love Baptist. It's full of big love. Whose palm wavers in your life? Who were the ones in your life that are continually saying, it's Jesus, it's Jesus? You know, the conversation, y'all, can't you be a palm waver with me? And not just for Easter, but be a palm waver. Always saying, it's Jesus. Oh, I adore him. And he's got the answer. And we've got his Word. And he brings peace. My dad, and this is important, I'll close with this. My dad, he became a palm waver, but late in life. He wasted too much of his life. Never forget He called me over, and my dad was just my dad. Amen. I love my dad. He's a good dad and a good provider, but he was much of a man of a God. He's one of those deacons in the church that you didn't need in the church. Y'all right? And never saw him cry except when his daddy died. My grandpa died, and my dad's weeping. Calls me in the house, and I'm kind of going, and how? He starts waving his palm. Saying, Jesus has removed the scales from my eyes. Would you come? We have a revival. Would you come to my church tonight? And then he just began to do all these weird things, Tony. That was uncharacteristic to him. But I realized he became a palm waver. You can become one later in life. Me and my mom and brother would say, how long is this going to last? He just fell in love with church and preaching. Cassette days. Remember cassette days? He bought a cassette duplicator. What in the world does a man in a home need a cassette duplicator? Because he'd record all this stuff he'd record all this preaching and he'd share it with people. He'd get the cassette, Scott, that they had made at the church, and they'd duplicate in the Moquette church for people. He was doing his own duplication just so he could get more out. He loved church. He loved the cassettes. He loved Cotton Street. You may know where Cotton Street is in Monroe. He fell in love with one particular gentleman that lived there. And he called Daddy and say, I need some milk. And my dad, get in the car, no matter when it was, day or night. You go to the grocery store. And wave his palm. Would you bow with me? I just wonder. You notice what we find to be a palm waver? You've got to know Jesus. And I just wonder who's here and you don't know Jesus. You've never surrendered your life. And you're thinking right now, I'm not a palm waver. And the reason may be is because you don't know Jesus. And I've got the greatest news about a victory. Jesus Christ wants to save your soul this morning on this Palm Sunday so that you can leave here and join others and wave that palm. Because I'm telling you, right now at this moment, you cannot comprehend in your mind what turning from yourself and your sin and giving your heart to Jesus, what a transformation and a new life he'll give you. And I beg of you, because every day people are dying in car wrecks, they're dying of other injuries suddenly, they're dying of heart attacks, they're waking up in the middle of the night simply to go to the restroom. And instead of going to the restroom, they're going to heaven. Or they're going to hell. Where are you going if you die? Where are you going? Never more urgent question. And now where are you going? In a moment, Kay's going to make her way to the piano and Deborah's going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation. It's your opportunity to come forward. You may say, I'm busy, I don't know this preacher, this folks, but I'm telling you, folks, this is real. Life and death. And the suddenness of death is real. And the suddenness of the rapture is going to be real. Do you know Jesus? How about it, church family? Been waving the palm much lately? Maybe you come to the altar and say, God, thank you for the reminder from Scripture. Not from Preacher Jeff, from Scripture. Of what this day means. And that we need to be palm wavers every moment of every day. Maybe God is leading you to be part of our church family. We open the doors to receive you. Would you be obedient to him? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, if you'll grab your hymnal and turn to page 596, I Surrender All.